In a world full of notifications and alerts, with crowded calendars and stressed schedules, Elijah knows what it means to get away. But he's a terrible travel agent. He just might send you to some cozy cave without Wi-Fi, rather than a five-star hotel where they leave a mint on your pillow. Elijah was fleeing for his life, escaping the wrath of Jezebel, after he defeated the prophets of Baal, that he ran deep into the wilderness as far as his legs would take him in order to hide. Ripped with this overwhelming anxiety where all he could do is cry out to God, but he heard nothing. There was this wind and a sense of hope, but God was not in the wind. And then an earthquake where the ground beneath his feet shook, hoping to shake him loose from this anxiety. But God was not in the earthquake. And then a fire surrounded him, where fire has always been the sign of the divine. But God was not in the fire. And just before Elijah completely gave up, he heard the sound of sheer silence. And God was in the silence. That Elijah knows the unexpected and many times unwanted gift of silence. And there are few things scarier than silence. Because in the silence, we have to confront our loneliness. It's that feeling we have when we're walking down the hallways of the school, going from third period to fourth period, surrounded by all of these people, a crowded hallway, those that we have known for years, and yet we have this sense that nobody really knows us. Or in the midst of the constant busyness of work week, where we are checking off the to-do list, going from this task to that one, someone stops us in the hallway at work and says, "Well, how is your week?" And all we can muster up is "busy," which simply hides all of those quiet battles that we carry around all the time. Or perhaps it's that feeling of limitation and loss that if we live long enough, we all experience with yet another birthday. Feeling somewhat isolated, unable to do as much as we used to do. That in the silence, we find our loneliness. But silence also recognizes there are no shortcuts to God. It's like the doctor resetting a broken bone, looks us in the eyes, starts to count to three, and says, "This is going to hurt a little bit, but it's necessary for long-term healing." Jesus knew what it meant to get away, seeking that gift of silence. We find him getting in a boat and going to the other side of the lake. It's the longest story in all the synoptic gospels in Matthew, Mark, or Luke, which adds some emphasis to it. That he steps off of this boat into a region of his world that he has rarely been. spent most of his life and his ministry right there in the region of Galilee to the west side of the lake. But he gets in this boat and goes to the other side, which is the region where the Gentiles live. Foreshadowing that mission to the Gentiles, where the circle of the gospel would continue to widen in the mission of the early church. And when he steps off of the boat and onto the shore, he meets a man by the name of Legion, forced to live on the outskirts of town, marginalized by others because he has these unclean spirits that makes his body convulse. That Legion lives in utter silence and complete loneliness. And this is during a time when Rome occupied Israel. And Jesus became this threat to Rome because in whispers among the crowd, they started calling him the Messiah, the next king of Israel, but Caesar was king. And interestingly, Legion's name comes from a legion of Roman soldiers, some 3,000 to 5,000 soldiers. So when Jesus calls these spirits out of Legion into a herd of pigs that runs down the embankment and into the lake, it said something about the Roman occupation of Israel. That Jesus was a threat to Rome and Rome was a threat to Jesus. But out there in the silence, in the wilderness, standing next to Legion, we find the strength of God. So we can find refuge in our Rome, in our wilderness. That Legion had been exiled, but he had been brought home, like Israel's exile in homecoming so many times, and perhaps our own. Because in the silence, in the absence of sound, all we can hear is the presence of God. Silence, though, is not always a welcome friend. It wasn't that way at South Columbia Elementary School in Augusta, Georgia. That out there in the playground, we did play red light, green light. You remember standing on one side of the playground, the leader calls out, "Green light!" And we all run as fast as we can, trying to be the first person to the other side of the playground. But in mid-stride, the leader would say, "Red light!" And we froze. And this happened over and over again until the first person reached the other side of the playground. It was fun. But in the lunchroom of South Columbia Elementary School, there was another red light, green light, a traffic signal that sat up on the stage at the end of the lunchroom. And we paid attention to it. Every now and then, you'd see a family who moved to town mid-year, taking a tour of the school, walking with the principal through the lunchroom, and the parents would stop their child and point out the traffic signal, saying, "How neat it is to have a traffic signal in the lunchroom!" Well, it was not neat. Because if the noise level got too loud, the green light became a red light. And we had to sit there eating our tater tots during silent lunch. And there's nothing worse than silent lunch. Because silence is hard work. That without all of those distractions, we discover everything that's beneath the surface of our lives. That silence requires strength, or perhaps silence cultivates it. that one place that we hear the presence of God is at the place where we can listen to our own souls. Room to listen in the silence without all of those distractions. In fact, the word for silence in the Hebrew and the Greek also means to obey. That listening is an act of faith where we are open and receptive, not only to the presence of God, but also to our souls. That we hear what causes us fear, and how maybe it is those things driving some of our decisions. That we can hear what it is that brings us joy, the moments where perhaps we have brushed up against the presence of God. And we can hear what it is that we truly trust. And we can see as if, are those things that we trust the things that truly matter in this world? And the good news is, we don't have to do anything. Or maybe that is the bad news, because we want to be able to do something, to take the situation into our own hands, to fix it once and for all. But maybe Paul was on to something when he said, we live by faith and not by works. That silence is hard work, even when we pray. So if it is hard to begin our prayers in silence, perhaps we can end there. That we can begin praying by saying everything we need to say. But once we have said everything we need to say to God, we do not end there. We continue to sit in silence, just listening for the presence of God and to our own souls. There are many things that I hope for in this life, and that I hope for you. And they range from the small to the large. But one of those essential things that I hope for is to have a quiet soul, to have some quiet waters to sit by when we are surrounded by storming seas. Because when we look out at the tragedies of this world, we are overwhelmed. There are questions about them we cannot answer, solutions that seem impossible, that we almost want to just walk the other way and no longer pay attention. Or maybe it is just the week in and week out work of longing and hoping for those closest to us, those that we love the most. There's just so much to absorb and respond to worry about. How do we protect them? How do we teach them? How do we guide them? That a quiet soul allows us to hear the presence of God beyond the noise. Knowing that God finds us in the wilderness, It happened for Elijah. It happened for the people of God there in Egypt when they were freed from slavery, and again when they were exiled in Babylon. It happened for John the Baptist preaching out there in the wilderness next to the river. And it happened for Jesus when he emerged from those waters, walked into the wilderness, and faced temptation. It happened for Legion when Jesus stepped off of the boat and stood next to him in his wilderness. And it happens for us, knowing that God finds us in the wilderness as we enter and embrace the silence, not because we do anything, not because we say anything, but just because we have made room to listen for the presence of God. Amen.